April the 9th, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we will open this evening with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 7 to 9. Sun and the moon together. At length, when the sight is dazed, and the moon is buried in darkness, and the sun and the moon are joined together. Masjid al-Masibah, page 2, 1051. Intellect, no better gift. So, narrated Abu Huraira, the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the intelligence, he told it to stand up, and it did so. Then told it to turn its back, and it did so. Then told it to turn its face, and it did so. Then told it to sit, and it did so. He then said, I have created nothing better or more excellent or finer than you. By you I shall receive, by you I shall give, and by you I shall know, and by you I shall reprove, and by you rewards will be gained, and by opposing you punishment will be received. So moon symbolic of scholars, scientists. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 7 to 8, cite confused days. The question is asked, when is the day of resurrection? The Holy Quran says, when the sight is confused, you think you're seeing now, and you're boastfully, because you say you see. You say your knowledge is sound, so you think. But when the knowledge runs into something else, that's going to shake it right in its foundation. You are going to become confused. At that time, you won't be as rigid as bones. The book also says that the moon becomes dark. I've been following your light. The moon of their world is symbolic of their leaders, their scholars, and their scientists. So when the moon becomes dark, it means when your scholars and scientists become dark, and they can't even help you to get out of the darkness and confusion of the knowledge. So when the sun and the moon are brought together and the knowledge and your scholars become one, man will ask on that day where to flee. No, there is no refuge. The sun and the moon is given with a double message. One message is saying to those who boast in their knowledge that there is coming a time when your knowledge is going to fail you, the leaders of the knowledge that you look to are going to fail you too. So you are going to see them both as one, meaning one can't help the other, and one is no better than the other. Something else is going to take place that is not given here, but it's here as a hidden hint. Sun, moon together means revelation, and the prophets are one. So Quran Surah 75, Ayat 9, sun and the moon together. But there is going to come a time when the messenger and the revelation shall come together as one. You are going to see that there is one message and one messenger. That's the sun and the moon coming together. The sun and the moon coming together in the Holy Quran, the message of the most important prophets are given in the Quran, and all of them are given as a messenger of Islam or messenger of Islam. So Muhammad, the completion of all prophets, the last messenger is given here as Muhammad, and he is called the completion of the messengers. He stands as all the messengers combined into one. He takes all of the scriptures of those messengers and show them as one. So you have the man, the messenger, and you have the revelation, which is the sun and one. So when they are brought together, sun and the moon, man will ask on that day, where is there to flee? The argument is ended. They have been picking up their particular man's causing confusion in religion. But what will you be able to do when he shows you that this is one book and one man? The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 24 to 30. One leg will be joined to the other. The Quran, Surah 68, Ayat 42, shin exposed. Tayammum will stand to stop superstitious thinking that water has some spooky powers. So water stands for man's moral and spiritual nature. Earth stands for man's logical mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the revelation to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the messenger to all people. He says to us regarding ablution that if you cannot find suitable water, use clean earth. Do you think this is only cleaning up the problem for simple people? No, no indeed. It is also clearing up the problem for the intellectual and the religion. On the common knowledge level, what is it saying to us? It is saying that religion with God is not spooky. It is irrational. There is nothing spooky about the water. Don't think that you can't make ablution without water. So the water has no spooky powers. In the world, some of the religious people come to believe that the water has spooky powers. And aren't there religious people right now believing the water has spooky powers? Haven't you in your time heard that they go over to the Middle East, to Jordan, the Zamzam, and come back here with water? And they sell it for high prices, thinking it has spooky powers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the water is good and best for cleaning, but it has no spooky powers. So your prayers will still be accepted if you can't find suitable water. Use clean earth. If you find clean sand, rub it in your hands. It can clean your hands, and after you clean your hands, you can take the clean hand and wipe your face. You can clean your body with clean sand. So if you can't find any clean sand, if you know that a stone is clean, can't you rub your hand on that stone and clean it? If there are some clean corn stalks and you are out in the field and the earth is muddy, couldn't you take the corn stalk and clean your hands? Yes. So tayamun means using clean something from the earth to take off dirt. So what does it say to people on a high level of religious understanding? They have secret, some symbolic teaching where the water stands for something and the earth stands for something. So the water stands for man's moral and spiritual nature. The earth stands for man's logical mind, the purely rational side of the man. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us in this teachings on ablution? He's telling us that the human knowledge cleans up. That is moral knowledge, spiritual excellence. Moral excellence cleans us. But also rational knowledge cleans us. Having many of our good morals come to us, for man who were not looking for morals, they were looking for rational, logical conclusion. But the logical conclusion also gave us knowledge for moral excellence. So our morals just don't come from the human excellence. The morals also come from search. One feeds the other as the two legs. One advances the other. The right leg moves up to bring the left leg up. So the left leg moves up to bring the right leg up. This is Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the sinners shall be marshaled with their legs tied together. What does that mean? You will have no power to enter into the discussion with God to justify your wrong. You won't be able to hide one truth and project half of it like you do in this life. You hide the right leg and talk about the left leg. Or you hide the left leg and you talk about the right one. You get on a rational issue. And you demand that we stay right on the cut and dry rational point. You say, don't let any morals come into this. So we are not talking about the moral aspect. So when we face God, your total life shall be together before him. And you won't be able to hide the moral evidence while projecting the cut and the dry rational lie. And those who say religion is all spookism, they won't be able to hide the logical facts while pretending to establish a truth upon spookism. Your taqwa reaches me, not your blood. Abraham sacrificed not his son, but a lamb. So blood sacrifice stopped Jesus on the cross. Shin bone laid bare means expose the real issue. Do you see how beautiful the religion is? Quran says, they shall be marshaled before the judgment with their legs together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that the shin bone shall be bare. There is only a thin skin over the shin bone. It doesn't have a lot of flesh on it. Quran says that their shin bone shall be exposed. What is under the skin? The strong support. On the outside is the little weak cover. A lot of people want to talk about the covering, but they won't get to the heart of the matter. They just talk about the superficial, but won't get into the issue. God is going to bear that shin. You are going to have to talk about the real issue. The religious leadership, don't they avoid the real issues when you challenge them to ask? Isn't it wrong that you worship flesh and blood? Isn't it wrong that you worship blood sacrifice? When God told the prophet before the New Testament that ye shall not make blood sacrifices, that God wants not the kind of sacrifice. The sacrifice that he wants is obedience. Why have you brought back blood sacrifice, something that was stopped by Prophet Abraham and other prophets who came behind him? You still have it in religion. They won't go to the heart of the matter. They will start talking about the superficial things, and they will hide part of the argument while trying to establish an excuse. For our ablution tells us that the human being is a total life, a complete entity, that he is not two people, he is one person. Trinity started in Egyptian rulers, monuments, dualism, nature worship, where steps in man's growth. I was in Egypt looking at some of the ancient monuments there, and I saw the symbolism that I believe came into the religion because people were ignorant and wouldn't keep God's guidance. They just came to the conclusion that this was, and they introduced it into the religion, dualism. So when you study the religious history of most of the people of the world, you will find that they have practiced at some time dualism and nature worship. So these are steps in man's growth. They see things and they seem to be the answer. And they come to the conclusion that they are the answer. But if you remain faithful, you eventually grow out of that, out of those simple things that were wrong, and we come to the right understanding. There they have a status of a man, a statue, pardon me, of a man ruler. They have for his legs two sons. His right leg is one son, and his left leg is another son. So these are the two people. In his body, he's making the third. So you have one form of Trinitarianism in Christianity. But believe me, that Trinitarian thing is all over. People have gone wrong. Not that everybody worships the three gods in one, but practically everywhere. I know religion to have been, they all have had a concept that involved three principles of three essentials or important figures. For Christianity, it is Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Quran, Surah 76, Ayah 6, servant of God, God sent prophets to us who told us. They introduced themselves to us as God's servants, and they are our models. They are our leaders to teach us that all of us should be God's servants. Will Allah only. Allah has completed control over the human being. The Quran, Surah 76, Ayah 30, there is no willing except as God will. Believe it or not, God has more control over the mind, the thinking, the spirit, the power of human beings than they have over themselves. God has more control over every human being than that human being has over himself. He can't even think in a way that God doesn't want him to think. If God doesn't want him to think that way, He can't think that way. God doesn't have to kill anybody. He just prevents you from causing trouble, prevents you from making any problems for him. He doesn't have to kill you. He controls your thinking and everything anytime he wants to. He can control your thinking and you can't. He can make you happy with thinking that you, perhaps without him interfering with your thinking or with your mind, you would be so bitter and so enraged, you would probably be going at something to kill it. And he can deal with your thinking and have you go to it and kiss him. God is the living God. And he is present all the time, and he is in your mind and in your life more than you are in your mind and your life. That goes for every human being on earth. He is in their mind, in their spirit, in their life more than they are. So how can they cause trouble for him? And he doesn't want it. As long as we continue to be the person, believers, God is not going to let anything happen to him, harm us. Nothing is going to happen to us but what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to happen. Milk, symbolic of kind believers. So the breast milk for the baby looks similar to the germ, to the sperm germ that started its life. The Quran, Surah 77, Ayah 20, man formed a fluid water dispense. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 29, kind to believers, hard against the disbeliever. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayah 14, baby weaned on milk for 2 years. The Quran, Surah 97, Ayah 4, angels descend on every earth. So when life comes to the baby needs food, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mother naturally to have food ready for the baby when the baby comes. The breast fills up with the food for the baby. The baby comes and there is the milk from the human mother, not a cow or a worm, from the human mother. And the life of the baby is sustained. And the baby is comforted. The hunger is removed. And the baby begins to grow and increase as human flesh. And blood body, right? And it is giving milk something liquid, resembling how the life started. Some of this milk now looks so cheap until it really looks like a poor man's sperm, almost water. So you need to eat some beef, man. His sperm is almost water. So the angels in the spirit that descend in the night, when the revelation came to Muhammad, they are rejoicing. They are listening to Imam W. Dean Muhammad just like you. But they are hearing much more than you hear. They are just rejoicing as God blessed me to communicate these two things to you. So the Muslims are told, those who stand in the way of the right, of the light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you to be firm against them, but love you one another and be as soft as milk on the believers. Isn't that beautiful? There is big message in that. Be as soft as milk. When you are trying to get the believer to go or move the way you want them to go, don't get angry, hostile, and mean, and start speaking down to them and beating them over the head with something that hurts, like a solid rock or something like a club. No, be as soft as milk. as milkmaids be by them, like the mother was by her baby when she was giving him milk from her breast. Go back to the time of milk feeding and be kind like a human life is when it is serving in that purpose, in that time. Isn't that wonderful? See how so much is given in just one word, milk. Look how rich milk is in its language of communication, God guidance to us. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you get that understanding if you don't make connections? So you have to connect milk and what happened at that time of milking or feeding milk to the baby. You have to connect that scene. And what is hidden, is what is happening there with what God is addressing. Don't be harsh on believers. Don't be talking to them so rough. Don't be treating them as something hard that you can't reach with softness. Remember when you were an infant in the care of women, mothers, and she was feeding you milk. She held you so gently and so tenderly. This is wonderful. The Quran Surah 77, Ayah 21, sperm, place of rest firmly fixed. Urge and intellect needs a womb. The urge and the intellect needs a womb. The female here represents the state of the mind that has to be in order for that proper womb to be there for that urge to develop properly. It includes what? An awareness of our developmental nature. And that kind of awareness is a wound for the intellectual urge to develop in. So when we become aware of our developmental nature, we know that we have to have a social environment, a certain social concern must be existing in the person in order for the urge and the intellect to grow, man, and to manifest in the form of civilization. We know that. I think that this is very clear for some of you, that it is not clear. So heaven sperm, the Quran Surah 77, Ayah 21, sperm put in a place of rest firmly fixed. To which we put in a place of rest firmly fixed. The creation of the human being needs what first? Peace and quiet. God says the life germ, sperm, of man is placed in the female, and it is put in a situation where it is safe and at peace, protected from noise and trouble, safe and at peace. And because God has created a situation like that, for the life germ, that life germ completes itself and gives us a whole person, physical, male and female. What a great production. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the production is made possible because it is a place, and it is placed in a situation where it is at peace and protected from harm and trouble. And we are told a story that we will begin our existence in paradise. We will conceive and then put in the world to produce. Conceived in paradise and then put into the world to produce. And we were able to produce because we were conceived in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us from a peaceful state, free of burden, not hurting, pain. And then he put us in the work field to work, and we are able to produce because we were formed in heaven. So heaven forming human now by Islamic teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. These people who are being formed in the hills of the streets, can't you see how come they are not productive? why they cannot contribute to the CPC, Comtrust, to the establishment, to the structures in their neighborhoods. They offer nothing because they are created in hell. But if we remain devoted to this religion, we will create an environment like this. We are being formed in heaven right now. For those who are sensitive to what is happening in this room, we are being formed in heaven right now. And we can go in the world and be productive, and they won't cripple us with their sins. And our souls will be sensitive to the need of human life. And each one will go his own way to his own interest. And we all will contribute to the building of a new world. And it is happening all the time. It is not to come. So when we look at the objective world, we see two worlds, not just one. Shouldn't we see our world, the world of righteous trying to obey God, and the world of those who don't care? Don't let the world of those who don't care dampen our spirits or hurt us in any way. Let us keep our world and our eyes so our own world feeds our life. It says, don't even gaze upon the wicked world, because if you turn your eyes and look at that focus, you are going to be fed by the wrong thing. You will have the wrong spirit coming into your life. So keep your vision, eyes focused on your life and your world. And that will keep you strong to survive all the human harm and things that are happening in the world of the ungodly. The devil is constantly trying to build a world of the ungodly, so that it will choke out our life and we will have no place to live. But he is going to fail, and he is failing, and he is going to continue to fail. The Quran, Surah 77, Ayah 25, earth drawn together, living and dead. God made earth to resting place for us, for our grouping together and our sojourn. Here in the earth is where we pursue our goals. Adam wasn't rejected. Iblis was rejected. The Quran, Surah 79, Ayah 40, man controlled desires. So we know these things, trying times. We know these are trying times. State for man, the passion. So God says of that, passion itself, my passion itself, that it is subject to corruption, that it comes by corruption except for those whom God has shown his mercy. So Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was affected by that world, by the negative influence of the world, but remained in the perfect state that God created him. Before even revelation came to him. And what did it credit with his success, with him being protected? The mercy of God, because they asked him. And they said, is that also true for you? He said, yes. That he too was saved only because of the mercy of God. So the Quran, Surah 79, Ayat 42 and 4. Ask you about last hour. So you will know what time it is by God's clock, not by yours. So you will know what time it is by God's clock, without us being able to predict the end of time. The end comes, or came. The end came. The great Soviet Union was dismantled. The Quran, Surah 80, Ayat 1, he frowned and turned away. Now, how many men who are trying to establish themselves as perfect leaders for the society that God is speaking well will say that God created me today because I made a mistake. The Holy Quran says he frowned and turned away. It's talking about Prophet Muhammad himself. He is Prophet Muhammad himself speaking with his mouth what God had said to him. God was admonishing him, not so much him directly, but it is more important to understand that he was admonished or admonishing the Arab people who had that seriously, who had that problem as a serious problem in their makeup. Prophet Muhammad had it only as a slight problem. He did it without conscience. He was consciously trying to obey God. He was consciously trying to bring a big following to God. In doing so, he followed the habit of a people who had a serious problem in them. So God spoke of their serious problem to Prophet Muhammad. But still, Prophet Muhammad is being directed before the people by the God that is speaking to him. So when the blind man came to him, he frowned and turned away because he was in haste. He was hurrying to talk to a group of leaders, well-to-do, strong members of the society, that he thought that if he convinced these people, can help me bring the small people around. You see, he overlooked something. And God reprimanded him only before the people. And his intentions were so pure that he didn't say, I can't tell you people this revelation. It came out. So the purity of intentions are very, very important if we would just purify and make our intentions right. Then Almighty God will come into our lives and guide us. But will you yourself guide someone that you saw bad intentions in and were against you? No, you wouldn't guide him. Intentions to serve Allah alone. So there are some of you who show to me, oh, I have learned so much. I have advanced in so many areas. But when I look at you, I see one thing missing. I don't see in you the purity of intention. I don't see in you the desire to serve divine will and divine will only. I see in some of you the desire to make yourself big. So I say, yes, brother, you are wonderful, man. Go on, keep going. If we could just make our intentions right, and that act need only one hand, one stroke, one wife, is that right? So the one wife would do that, brother. The security doesn't have to help you with that. You know your intentions. The society doesn't know your intentions. So if you would just make up your mind and make one stroke, say I'm going to conform to God's will in my intentions, and God will enter your ear and direct your life and will help you in your wake of life. He will help you in everything you have to do. He doesn't have to speak but once. And we don't have to open our ears but once. But it has to be a total commitment. Blind, the Quran, Surah 80, Ayat 1 to 2, he frowned. Dawin, Dua, find a way to treat the Dua, find a way to treat the condition rather than teach the condition. I can see that happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up things to us. And we can become very, very productive in many, many ways, especially cultural religious literature, but also fictional literature. We can become very productive. That's what others did. So why should not we? They came into knowledge and they made their contributions to the world and profited, and all still profiting much from contributing their knowledge to the world. So there are so many ways now you can reach human hearts, souls, and minds to bring about positive change and reform without coming directly from Scripture to try to convert people. And this time, that is not the way. Try to find a way to treat the condition rather than teach the condition. So we have the knowledge to treat the condition. Let us do it. They do not have any ear for teaching. They are all deaf and dumb. The world have them turned off. They are not interested in what you have to say. You're going to teach them about Scripture. They do not want that. The only people who want that are those who are already devoted to Scripture. Well, what about that blind man? Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, the big people had attracted him because he knew they were not directly accepting right guidance. They were not having their life directed correctly, but he knew that they were not ignorant. They were not blind. It didn't say that people he was going to were blind. They were informed rich people. What is the difference between the people he was structured or attracted, or because the people he was attracted to and the people that he did not have time for? Some could see in this, and one could not see. So the blind man is not really blind. He just cannot see the way. So he cannot see how to make it in the world. So he was going to those big shots who knew how to make it in the world. And you want them to become Muslims, can be rightly guided. Well, about who are you just walking past to get to them? They are all in your way. They are everywhere. What about those who you are walking past to get to those special people you want to convert because you think they will turn your mission into success right away? So he was rebuked by God for making the wrong decision. His heart was right. He wanted to bring big results to Al-Islam, quick, but it was not just. Jesus did not teach. He treated the condition. So we have that blind man all around us, right? Blind people all around us. So let us be like Christ Jesus. Treat the condition. He did not teach the blind man. He took mud and put some spit in it and rubbed it in his eyes and let it sit there for a while. And the blind man said, I can see. So inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, God has blessed us to come to the right strategy. We have the strategy. We have the medicine. It's going to take us a little time, but I believe in a little while, the paper are opening up for us. So the Quran Surah 4, Ayat 159, believe in Jesus before his death. The Quran Surah 80, Ayat 37, each will be concerned with his own self. Matthew 10:38, whoever takes not his cross is not of me. Each person takes his own burden or cross responsibility. So we have to accept that time in the future promises us less and less from government and from other people, it says. There is coming a time when every soul will have enough problems of its own not to be bothered with others. This is Quran. And that time is here. Everybody has enough problems of their own not to be bothered with yours, your problems. Jesus took upon himself a cross, didn't he? And that cross was his cross, but he asked of his followers that each of them take up themselves, their cross. And it's the tradition of Christians to wear crosses because this is what he left with them. Now, what does that say that every individual must bear his own cross? God holds Muhammad, the prophet, president, and peace be upon him, responsible for the office he gave him. He held him responsible for that. Individual responsibility is cross. So he, as an individual, had an individual responsibility to God for the office that God entrusted with him with. So the Christianity, that is his cross, that Muhammad, president of peace be upon him's cross, his individual responsibility that God gave him is his cross. For us, the responsibility that God created us for as individuals is our cross. Listen, please. This is very important. So cross means self and balance. So when you look at a cross, what do you see? It's really a picture of two things because those two things must become reconciled in man at the same point if he is to have the great life that God created for him or him for. It's symbolic of you, firstly, see man, arms outstretched, is a cross. It's exactly what it is. So when they put Jesus on the cross, really, he himself is the cross. Jesus is the cross. That means himself is balanced, in balance. The tightrope walker, he has to stretch his arms like that to stay balanced on the tightrope. So we know the cross has more than one meaning. It has several meanings, and this is one of its most important meaning, that it means, I should say, its first most important meaning, that is individual, it is perfect balance. Cross means Jesus lived life and perfect balance before God. So this crucifix appears to be when the man is here looking pitiful and brutalized, blood dripping from the throne in his head and holes in his hands and feet showing blood. This is a sign of cruelty, misery. It makes us feel sad. But the Quran wants us to see that this is an appearance to hide another appearance. This is a picture to hide another picture. Now, under this picture of sadness, of torture, of cruelty is another meaning. It means that Jesus lived all of his life in perfect balance before God. That's what it means, that his life was perfectly balanced before his Lord, and he died a Muslim. Died in the perfect balance in the Muslim nature, upright. That's what it means. So this is the real cross. The other cross hides this cross. It makes this cross the cross that says Jesus died in the perfect balance, it said. They are going to kill him, crucify him. He said, this is the purpose for which I sent. This is the purpose for which he sent me into the world. You're going to crucify me, kill me, to give my all, including life, if I have to, make the ultimate sacrifice? I will make it, and remain faithful to my Lord, never betraying him, never slacking, never shortchanging him. Then God will record me that I died in the perfect balance. So you didn't kill me. I came here to do this. This is my purpose. You didn't kill me. I gave my life. You didn't take it. God sent me in the world to give it for his cause, and I gave it. How can you take what I gave to God? Are you listening to me? How can you take what I came to give to my God in obedience, even if it means losing my life? Such a Shaheed is never killed, never crucified. He's obedient to his God, and he will give his all rather than to disobey his Lord. So the Quran, Surah 80, Ayat 37, each one concerned with his own self. Psalms 2:3, let us break their bond. Marriage relationships shouldn't be based on sex. The relationship of man to wife or husband to wife, it is not sexual, but it is a necessary element. That's all. The relationship should never be based upon sex. Even the lower animals do not base their relationship upon sexual pleasure. They have the pleasure and realize that the produce of that action is now in the female, and she changes her behavior, and she gets serious about being a mother before even the baby comes. This is an animal. And when the baby is here, she is devoted to the life of that baby. So the purpose of mating is to extend to the extended life, to keep life existing, and to care for life. So after the present ones are gone, the life continues in the best form. This is devotion to community life, isn't it? So your sexual act shouldn't be devotion to community life. This is natural. And man, before the world of commercialism spoiled them, they see a wife as a future, the natural man in his original nature. The wife sees the husband as a future. They look to family to have babies and having more company than just one or two people. They look to have a growing future of family and organizations of people, loving one another and working one another, and supporting each other's life and extending the productivity in the interest of life. That's what they see, and that's what community should be. And when we take sex for nothing but sex, you're less than an animal. If that is what your wife is to you, your sex thing, you are less than an animal, my brother. I never had it in my spirit to see sex as just sex and a dirty thing. I always had it in my spirit. You know what sex was to me? A beautiful flower with pollen. It looks nice and smells nice. And it's mixed with something from another, the opposite life. And it reproduces fruit. Here the plant has been transformed. It is no more just a plant bearing leaves and flowers. Now it is a plant bearing fruit, the fruit of Islam. Look at yourself, brother, as fruit. If your production is sweet, is your production sweet smelling? Is your production tasty and giving us energy to do our work, to keep moving and doing things? The Quran, Surah 81, Ayah 3, mountains. The Quran, Surah 16, 15, mountains set, least earth shakes. Allah says, and if he hadn't set up mountains, the earth would have shaken with you. So mountains plus train, light, retain, holding. Is that right? So they are stabilizers. So you see, the very word mountain tells us something is mounting. Then at the end of the word suggests that something is holding, maintain, retain, sustain. It tells us that something is holding. And mount means that it is mounting up. And it is also holding itself, right? So mountain represents intelligence, authority, respect. So when deterioration sets into the natural state of man's intellect, he loses his spiritual curiosity. So death sets upon the spiritual sciences, and then his ability to command respect is lost. There is now no for him personally, see? The mountain commands respect. It is as a symbol of authority. Man wants to go up on the mountain to get broader vision. Sometimes just wants to challenge the mountain to see if he can climb up that high. So we are talking about the intellect. Quran says, then the mountain vanishes as a mirage. So the natural urge in the intellect dies. Man loses attachment with the natural urge, with the intellect. It is worrying that loses respect for God is what brought him into that natural urge. As a consequence of that, for that, his spiritual vision dies, and then his ability to gain respect in society is lost. And we see that. That's the way it happened. Look how the young generation turned against the old establishment. Change is taking place. But we haven't recovered from that. The young are still not inclined to respect the old or the elders. The Quran, Surah 81, Ayat 5, when beasts gathered. That's where we will start next Wednesday at 7 p.m. We thank you, may God guide us and have mercy on us. I want to say this, that we should pray for the first responders that has to go out and put their lives on the line to curb this coronavirus, and also make sure that your neighbors have some food to eat. Make sure that they have something in their house. Knock on their door and make sure that they're all right. And help them if you can. And if you can't help them, let's pray for all of them. So with that, thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us. And bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.